Welcome to the news with NDTV. It's Wednesday, March 20th. In today's episode, chilling murder of two children in Uttar Pradesh's Badaun. MK Stalin-led DMK's poll manifesto, nominations begin for the first phase of the Lok Sabha elections, and the latest UN ranking of the world's happiest countries. First up, a horrific double murder of two children has shaken up the town of Badaun in Uttar Pradesh. The brothers, aged 6 and 11, were killed by a man called Sajid last evening, according to their mother. About 2 hours after the incident, Sajid was gunned down in an alleged police encounter. The anguished crowds in the neighborhood burned down Sajid's barber shop, along with two other structures. However, police reported law and order situation was soon under control. Sangeeta, the mother of the killed children, Ayush and Ahan, and her other surviving son, who witnessed the whole ordeal and managed to escape, recounted the chilling details to NDTV. The accused Sajid ran a barber shop near the family's two-story house. The accused came to their house and asked for a Rs 5,000 loan. He claimed it was for his pregnant wife's delivery. Sangeeta said, and I quote, "I gave him a cup of tea and he went upstairs with my eldest son. There he slaughtered my sons very brutally. We had no enmity. Why did he do that? My seven-year-old ran downstairs, even though he had been attacked and his hand was bleeding. He could have been killed too, but he escaped," unquote. An FIR has been registered and there is no clarity yet on the motive behind the crime. The family has denied reports that there was a dispute between the children's father Vinod and the accused. The family has told the police that Sajid fled with his brother Javed, who was waiting outside. The police have said that when they caught up with Sajid, he fired at them and he was shot dead in retaliatory firing. Javed is still on the run. The police have dismissed occult rumors related to the killings. Police are also monitoring social media to curb the spread of rumors, a senior police officer said. And next, no CAA, Uniform Civil Code or NEET exams for medical entrance in the state. These are some of Tamil Nadu Chief Minister M.K. Stalin's promises ahead of the upcoming general elections. In the run-up to the Lok Sabha elections, Tamil Nadu's ruling party, Dravida Munnetra Kazhakam or DMK, an India Bloc member, has released its poll manifesto, promising to remove all, quote, anti-people policies. Mr. Stalin said, and I quote, "The DMK continues to do what we say. This is what our leaders taught us. We went all over the state and listened to the people. This is not just a DMK manifesto, it is the people's manifesto," unquote. And in this people's manifesto, here are some big takeaways. First, the manifesto promises to eliminate toll booths across national highways. Second, limiting price of fuel to Rs. 75 a litre for petrol, Rs. 65 a litre for diesel and Rs. 500 for LPG or cooking gas cylinders. It further promises to oppose and stop the introduction of a Uniform Civil Code, the controversial New Citizenship Law, CAA, and the One Nation, One Election idea. The manifesto also bats for the removal of National Education Policy, abolishing the Niti Aayog and restoring the now-scrapped Planning Commission. It advocates a 2-year cooling-off period for former judges to join politics or private companies after retirement. Several opposition parties had criticized former Calcutta High Court judge Abhijit Gangopadhyay resigning and immediately joining the Bharatiya Janata Party. It also bats for the removal of constitutional immunity of governors and reviewing roles assigned to them under the current laws. DMK MP Kanimothi told NDTV, and I quote, "Our promises are implementable if the India Bloc forms the central government," unquote, adding that the manifesto is focused on protecting the federal structure of the country. And next, the nomination process for 102 parliamentary constituencies across 21 states and union territories where polling will be held in the first phase of the Lok Sabha elections on April 19th began today. This means the eligible candidates from either political parties or independent individuals will approach the district election officer and file their nomination papers. The last date for filing nomination papers for most constituencies is March 27th. However, in Bihar, due to a festival, the deadline is extended to March 28th. Candidates also have the option to withdraw their nomination before a specified deadline. The last date for withdrawal of candidature is March 28th for most constituencies and April 2nd for Bihar. The 2024 Lok Sabha elections will be conducted in 7 phases, starting on April 19th and concluding on June 1st. Each phase will cover different constituency across states and union territories. The results of the election will be announced on June 4th. The first phase of polling includes states such as Arunachal Pradesh, Assam, Bihar, Chhattisgarh, Madhya Pradesh, Maharashtra, Rajasthan, Tamil Nadu, Uttar Pradesh, West Bengal, Jammu and Kashmir, Lakshadweep and Puducherry. Breaking from breaking news. After a massive online outrage against a proposed pure veg fleet, online food delivery giant Zomato has said all its delivery partners will continue to wear red uniforms. Zomato had earlier announced a green uniform for those delivering vegetarian food under the new service. Many pointed out that this move will have disastrous and unintended consequences. In a post on X, Zomato CEO Dipinder Goyal said, and I quote, "All our riders, both our regular fleet and our fleet for vegetarians, will wear the color red. This will ensure that our red uniform delivery partners are not incorrectly associated with non-veg food and blocked by any RWAs or societies during any special days. Our riders' physical safety is of paramount importance to us. We now realize that even some of our customers could get into trouble with their landlords. And that would not be a nice thing if that happened because of us." Unquote. Now back to news. Finland is the happiest country in the world, and Afghanistan is the most unhappy, according to the World Happiness Index for 143 countries released today. The happiness ranking, published by the United Nations annually, is based on individuals' self-assessed evaluations of life satisfaction, as well as GDP per capita, social support, healthy life expectancy, freedom, generosity, and corruption. Jennifer DePaolo, a happiness researcher at the University of Helsinki in Finland, told news agency AFP that Finnish people's close connection to nature and healthy work-life balance were key contributors to their life satisfaction. Finland's strong welfare society, trust in state authorities, low levels of corruption, and free healthcare and education were also key factors. In addition, Finns may have a, quote, "more attainable understanding of what a successful life is," unquote, compared, for example, the United States, where success is often equated with financial gain, she said. The top 10 countries in the list have remained the same since before the COVID-19 pandemic. But the report noted the happiest countries no longer included any of the world's largest countries. For the first time since the report was published more than a decade ago, the United States and Germany were not among the 20 happiest nations, coming in at 23rd and 24th respectively. In turn, Costa Rica and Kuwait entered the top 20 at 12 and 13. India stands at the 126th rank. The report observed that in India, older age is associated with higher life satisfaction. However, older Indian women reported lower life satisfaction than older men. Education and caste played key roles, with older adults with secondary or higher education and those of higher social castes reporting higher life satisfaction than their counterparts without formal education and those from scheduled castes and scheduled tribes, it said. And lastly, the recent rescue missions carried out by the Indian Navy have experts saying, quote, "it has special forces capabilities on par with some of the world's best," unquote, according to CNN. The comments follow a rescue mission last weekend. INS Kolkata, deployed off the coast of Somalia, intercepted a hijacked vessel. In a press release, the Indian Navy said the Navy rescued 17 crew members of the vessel MV Ruin during an anti-piracy operation lasting nearly 2 days, with no casualties reported. Dozens of pirates were taken into custody. The operation involved a Navy destroyer, a patrol ship, an Indian Air Force C-17 transporter flying more than 1,500 miles to airdrop marine commandos, a naval drone, a reconnaissance drone, and a P-8 surveillance jet. John Bradford, a fellow at the think tank Council on Foreign Relations International Affairs, said, and I quote, "the success of the operation marks the Indian Navy as a top-class force in terms of training, command and control, and other capabilities. What marks this operation as impressive is how risk was minimized by using a coordinated force that includes the use of a warship, drones, fixed and rotary wing craft, and marine commandos," unquote. While analyst Carl Schuster, a former U.S. Navy captain, said the incident highlighted the professionalism of the Indian Navy. The analyst noted that the Indian Navy is experienced in anti-piracy operations, going back more than 20 years, and the restive security situation in one of the world's major shipping lanes meant they were likely to be called on again. That's all for today. You are listening to The News with NDTV, your daily newspaper and TV bulletin wrapped in a compact podcast. If you want to catch up with the day's events in a hurry, do remember to subscribe to The News with NDTV on Spotify, Apple, and the NDTV News app. This is your host, Anviti, signing off.